For at least a decade, the fine art photographer Joel Meyerowitz made a subject out of the World Trade Center, and he did so almost by chance. His New York studio faces south, and that gave Joel Meyerowitz a spectacular view of the Twin Towers. He took glorious pictures of the buildings at dawn, at night, in almost every kind of weather and light. Then, after the attack last September, Meyerowitz started taking pictures not from his studio, but right down in Ground Zero, among the wreckage and the recovery workers, almost every day. I had the chance to talk to him about this recently and asked him exactly how and why he embarked on this mission.
Like everybody else, I was curious to see what had happened down there, and I went down to the zone, you know, 5 or so days after it happened, and like all the other passerby, I stood outside the chain link fence on Chambers in Greenwich, and all I could see was the smoke and a little bit of rubble. And I raised my camera to take a peek just to see if there was something to see, and some cop, a lady cop, hit me on my shoulder and said, "Hey, no pictures." And it was such a blow that it woke me up in the way that it was meant to be, I guess. And when I asked her why no pictures, she said, it's a crime scene, no photographs allowed. And I asked her what would happen if I was a member of the press. And she told me, oh, look back there. And back a block was the press corps tied up in a little penned-in area. And I said, well, when do they go in? And she said, probably never. And as I walked away from that, I had this crystallization, probably from the blow, because it was an insult in a way. I thought, oh, if there's no pictures, then there'll be no record. And so we need a record. And I thought, I'm going to make that record. I'll find a way to get in because I don't want to see this history disappear.
Did you feel in any way that you, in particular, Joel Meyerowitz, had a certain destiny to be that person to document this zone, given that you made such beautiful images of those towers when they stood?
Well, it certainly was a link to the act that followed, but more than that, I think I was prepared for it because over a 10 or 12 year period, I worked on a history book called Bystander, The History of Street Photography. And that allowed me to be in archives all over the world. And so I began to see what an archive looked like, the depth of it, the meaning, the necessity, the fullness, the description. And I thought, I know how to make an archive because I've seen, I mean, great historical archives, the Civil War, the Farm Security Administration of the Depression, you know, Atchey and Marvy in Paris. I mean, I understood something. So that in a sense, focused my sense of being the right person.
When you produce, as you have produced, some of these images, which are so astoundingly beautiful as pictures, as so much of your work in the past has been, just pretty images, is there a problem, given the subject matter, when to show something so ugly in such a gorgeous fashion?
Well, you know, ugly, I mean, powerful and tragic and horrific and everything, but it was also, as in nature, an enormous event that was transformed after the fact into this residue. And like many other ruins, you go to the ruins of the Colosseum or the ruins of a cathedral someplace, and they take on a new meaning when you watch the weather. I mean, there were afternoons I was down there, and the light goes pink, and there's a mist in the air, and you're standing in the rubble. And I found myself recognizing both the inherent beauty of nature, and the fact that nature as time is erasing this wound. Time is unstoppable, and it transforms the event. It gets further and further away from the day, and light and seasons temper it in some way. And it's not that I'm a romantic. It's that the reality, I mean, I'm really a realist. The reality is there's the Woolworth Building, you know, in a veil of smoke from the site, but it's now like a scrim across a theater, and it's turning pink. You know, and down below there are hoses spraying, and the lights have come on for the evening, and the water is turning acid green because the sodium lamps are on. And I'm thinking, my God, who could dream this up? But the fact is, I'm there. It looks like that. You have to take a picture.
As the terrain has changed, which it has changed dramatically and actually rather quickly as they've cleared it out, have you changed, do you feel, by being involved in this project that you never expected to be involved in for the last 6 months?
I feel again at my age now the need to be more useful as an artist. There was a period in my younger days when I was socially concerned and committed and did things about the Vietnam War and about our life. And over my middle period, you might say, I could feel my connection to the medium of photography and the questions I was asking about why photography looks this way, how it works, how it describes things. It's sort of art for art's sake. And over the last 10 years, I've been feeling that need to do something more utilitarian, socially conscious. So on the one hand, I feel politicized. On the other hand, there's a spiritualized quality to that zone that's undeniable. You enter it through all the airlocks, you know, the chained off gates and everything. You finally get in, and every day you pass the same pile, at least in the beginning, and standing there and realizing that there's 1,000 or more dead people chewed up in this, in these remains, and it's awesome and deeply moving, and everything one does in there, and I'm talking about the workers, the crane operators, the riggers, the burners, you know, the policemen and firemen, everyone has gone about this with a kind of tenderheartedness that's so apparent that it connects everybody. There's a kind of religious quality that's not defined by any particular religion, but just by the sense of spirituality. And I feel malleable, softer in some way, more respectful.
Do you have any feelings as an artist, as a visually oriented person, as somebody who has experienced this aftermath so intensely? What should be done on those 16 acres?
Well, things have certainly come up. Being down in there so regularly, you start to get ideas. You know, they pop into your head because you're standing someplace, the light is right, and you think, oh, I'm living in this space. It's not an abstraction where I'm sitting at a drawing board in an office someplace or making a visit once or twice. I'm there. The thing that's come up for me repeatedly, and this isn't about the buildings because the builders will decide that, but I would love to see the grid come back. It was so interrupted by the World Trade Center, and I think the city grid is interesting and complex down there. But I've been feeling that a park that was a living thing, if there were 3,000 trees planted with a nameplate on every tree, you could literally go to that tree, just like people go to the Vietnam Wall and they find the person's name and they finger it. I've seen people taking the impressions often. I mean, if there was a tree that kids could go to and see their mother or their father there, and to have a little forest in lower Manhattan breathing for us and growing, weaving its way parallel to the highway or the river or something, it seemed to me like it would change the scale down there. And it would last over time. I mean, something about that feels organically right to me. No idea who will take that into consideration, but it's something I'm.
And I hope you get to photograph that forest when it grows.
Wouldn't I love to?
Joel Meyerowitz, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Kurt. Pleasure to be here.